Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Africa Law Tech Show. The Africa Law Tech Show is a show that explores the latest news, topics, and issues at the crossroads of law and technology. And I'm happy to be your host today. My name is Susan Obunga Guya. In this episode, we're going to cover a very interesting topic, legal design. And I have a special guest with me. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. My name is Maria Pietrat. I'm a legal innovator from Germany, and currently I'm a legal trainee at the Higher Regional Court in Munich, but also co-founder of Responsible Innovators, and I've been in the legal innovation scene since several years and very keen on the topic legal design.
What is legal design?
So legal design is applying the design thinking method into legal.
Okay, and what is design thinking?
So design thinking is a process in which you put the user into the center and develop solutions which are like focused on the user.
So I'd like to give an example at this point. And contract is like the first thing that I have in mind. So ideally in a situation like that, it would be to think about the person who's going to be reading that contract and potentially design it in a way that makes it easier for them to interact with the document.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not only like the client in the end, like it's everyone who's in touch, like every stakeholder who's getting in touch with the contract. So also the lawyers who are working with it. So basically, you really need to identify like who are the people who will be
involved in
the cycle of the product or the process or whatever you're designing. And right. Then like you put them into the focus. So you really think about what do they need and what are the problems.
Yeah.
And then you go further in the process. So the basic idea of design thinking is that you first like emphasize and identify like all the possible users or interactors with the thing you're designing, like the product, for example. Then like after this, you really identify their needs, their problems, and then you start like creating solutions, like, but also like really rethink about like all the points you've made before, like are they still true? Like, is this what the user really needs?
Yeah.
And then after this, you have done like you created solutions. Well, then you're gonna like prototype.
Yes.
You prototype them. Yeah, and then you test them, and then you start the whole thing again. Because in the end, like it's you can always improve something, and also the needs of the user will change. So
true.
Basically, it's a never ending story, but in a positive way.
Yeah, I think you've touched a bit on about it, but can you take me through what the goal is and possibly the benefits of for example, legal design thinking?
So, I mean, coming from this point that you put the user into the center, you really think, like, especially for law, like the interaction of law and society, like for what do we have law? Like we have it to have like rules in a society that we can all live together in a good way. So, but for that, it needs to be accessible for everyone. It needs to be understandable and engageable. So you can definitely think like from a broad perspective about designing a legal system. And then from this, you narrow it down. Like you can go down to like operations, like legal operation, legal processes, legal products, and the information itself in the end.
And as you were talking, something came across my mind on language rights.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, Congo joining the East African community, there's more French speaking people coming into the country. They, of course, maybe not that I'm putting this on them, but in the scenario that they need legal services, there might be a barrier there in terms of them being able to either navigate finding a lawyer, you know, getting representation. And I'm also thinking of what you were saying in terms of how big it can go in terms of what it involves to an entire from an entire legal system to maybe adapting to society or the changes in the environment. And that's also a really great way to engage with the user and provide like a meaningful experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's even, I mean, you don't have to go so far, like you don't even have to change like the language. Yeah. Like it's even like our legal language usually tends to be
yes.
not so easy. Yes. Let's put it like this, even for us. It's yeah. not so easy all the time. Mm. So you can really try to like use more plain language, to use like accessible like ways of designing the content,
yeah.
Which not always has to be just to put pictures or something on it, because yeah. a lot of people think that if you just legal design something, you just put some stickers on it. So that's not yeah. not it. Like you really overthink or rethink like the way how we design our products, but because we also design products, but it's right. just that the way has been yeah brought up over the last hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And so it's time to rethink about how we do things.
Very true. And I like that you say that, because a lot of the time it's very admin. It's very, how do we, what's the functionality? We need
yeah.
to send these fee notes. We need to, you know, invoice. We need to do all these things. But the processes can also be refined and improved.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's really great to put this into perspective. What would you say are maybe the highlights of legal design thinking? From what I'm hearing, also there's an aspect of like considering the end user in terms of like empathy and of course functionality, but what are the other aspects of legal design thinking that come to mind?
I mean, in general, I would say a better, so under the word better user experience.
Yeah.
Like most of these things already we have already touched. Just that the user really feels that he's really informed and that he understands what's going on. Because if you get like terms of conditions right now,
yeah.
like you would never read them
yeah.
like as an end user. But if you would get them in a way like presented that in the end you really think, okay, I understood what I signed here
yeah.
and it's fine for me.
Yeah.
So it's also easier to comply with something, or
right, yeah.
like you would feel more secure or safe about complying with something you really understand.
Right.
So under this aspect, really to make the user, yeah, to give the user access to what we're
whatever,
doing,
yeah.
to the law
mm.
And to our legal work. And yeah, to communicate better and to have more efficient processes and products, and also in general like a more like a higher confidence level about the legal scene.
A lot of that to me also sounds like agency. You mentioned accessibility, which
yeah.
is a key factor, especially in terms of getting legal representation, finding some type of recourse to maybe any legal matter that you have. So yeah, it's quite an exciting topic. Okay, so we've talked about contracts. We've talked about maybe the grander picture of like overhauling or like redesigning a legal system. But what else can be created by legal like design thinking? Maybe if you can give an example of like for a law firm, like what other areas can they look at?
I mean, so definitely the processes itself within the law firm, like they're definitely things which can be designed or redesigned, and how they communicate with clients,
yeah.
How they communicate within the law firm, and also a lot of like it's not only contracts. I mean, lawyers do not only do contracts,
yeah.
So it's also like a great example. Also, like policies, to design a policy for corporates, for example, if the employees really feel confident about what should I do, especially
yeah.
for example, before we were talking about data protection. So it's a new field, and to explain to people like what is really going on,
right?
Like especially people who don't deal with legal things the whole
like,
day.
Like you mentioned the
yeah.
terms and conditions. I was just thinking about how on some websites you would see they've just put it in a question format.
Mm.
So I was gonna ask you, is that legal design?
Yeah,
it
can be.
For example, in the law firm, if their terms and conditions, or even their contracts, if they want to be ahead of the curve, rethinking ways of creating their products or designing their products, in a way that meets the client's needs and also helps them with efficiency in terms of functionality. Because that's the other thing that I was thinking of, to make it more efficient for them to do operations.
Absolutely. And that's like the beauty of our times, I would say, like with technology, you can really scale these things and make it in a way that you can reach a lot of people within, like, you design a product very well and then you scale it and it can reach so many more people than before. So this like interdisciplinary aspect of design, law and tech, I think it's like a very awesome time to be alive right now. To just take these things and create like great things.
And speaking of attractive, what are the opportunities for lawyers in legal design?
I mean, you can, so I think every lawyer can somehow be a legal designer. You don't have to be like a full-time legal designer. I mean, there's
that's good to know, because I was like, okay, do you need to do some courses? Is it a three-year program? I don't have time for that. So that's good that you said that.
Actually, there are great courses available already, so you can do it like as a lawyer just for yourself, to have it as a toolkit, which is very useful. But of course you can also be like a full-time legal designer, like a legal design consultant, or in-house or in a corporate. So like there are plenty of options, but I think the general thought that it's a useful toolkit for everyone in the legal scene, I think it's an important point, because it's also somehow a mindset that is created with that. Because you a bit go out of our traditional training mindset, like how we are trained, and just think about outside the box and really focus more on the user.
I think also this aspect of user-centric, I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And there is this aspect of also being able to compete. So as a law firm, being able to rethink these processes and redesign, considering your and putting your user at the center, it's very, very, it's a very deep conversation to have and to keep in mind moving forward. So is there anything else you'd like to share with us? Anything you'd like our viewers to know about legal design?
I just want to encourage the legal professionals who are watching to dig their mind into this topic, because I think it can really help them, their firms, their clients. Like, it just makes our life better. So, and in general, I think it's a mindset thing. It's a mindset question. So, and I think everyone who is open to explore these kind of options will find out that it's a great opportunity. And
So Maria, how can people find you?
Well, definitely on LinkedIn. So my name is Maria Pietrat. I'm happy to connect. And also, for people who want to dig deeper into this topic, I recommend checking out our website from Responsible Innovators, because we're trying to take this topic even a step further. So we are also thinking about in a holistic way about like innovation and responsible innovation, for which you also need to apply design thinking as a method, which we are like looking forward to do more research on that, how we can find a strategy for the future to guarantee that our innovations will help society, will be human-centered and really create a positive impact.
Thank you so much for joining us in this episode. I feel like I've learned a lot. And to our viewers, we hope you enjoyed this as well. If you have any questions or comments, leave it in the comment section. And also smash that subscribe button so that you can get notified about the next episode. See you next time.